Thank you, Joan, and thank you, Chris, and thank you all for being here. It's a pleasure to be here. I was young during the Vietnam War, so I wanted to start with two poems in honor of Jimmy Savetic and in memory of Danny Ebert, my friend, both of whom served there. This is in honor of Jimmy. This poem was written after visiting the Vietnam Memorial in Washington. It's called Black Scar. Scar, black scar, the artist's long black scar, symbol in the earth of the rip in the body human, payment in flesh. All wars are economic. The costs charged the poor. Black the blood of Danny, long since blackened, dried and caked. O Danny boy who is no more, he whom I loved, and he whom she loved, the Ebert's older son, remember him? He played a drum, the paper boy on Linden. This is called Dinner Date. The man was justified, I admitted, because he had served there. I gave him that anyway. He'd been the soldier, and his soldiering had to mean something. You could see how much in those tight lips and his fist squeezing the wine glass stem hard. So I gave him that. Then I told him Danny never came home. I really laid it on. 24 years old. Law school, Penn, his goodness, sense of duty, the Navy pilot, the way he was raised, how he was the first, for me, the first and best, and what it was like for us, the lush days and the nights, summer after young summer. I kept steaming on, juiced with the wine and some strange rage. The obscenity never seemed more obscene. This now old man still fighting his black-hearted, filthy military cause. It was finally for nothing, I whispered evilly. Nothing. Your service, his death, nothing. He quit arguing, shut up. I felt queasy, like I stepped on something and made it stop moving. As some of you may know, I'm a student of the Holocaust, and it is a continuing education. This is a new poem on that subject. It's called A Dream of Clara. My cousin Clara, born before me, had been loved, grew up invincible as anyone at 16, went on to her unsuspecting head, a nightmare of night descended. Every day became fetid night of Julia, the Gentile, no longer Clara, Clara gone, Clara no longer alive. The blur became walls splintered from fire and grain fields high enough and caverns deep enough, anywhere, anywhere to hide and move, never stay long, run, 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 never sleep long, eat anything, anything green in the dirt, keep moving, keep breathing, another bridge, another barn, run, 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 until on the last of all nights she lay spent, a gray silhouette sunk to the ground of a musky forest. Something small scuttered by. Clara, again, in the end, crawled after it, whispering, crooning, pleading to touch its softness. This is recently, as last night, workshopped at the Brentwood Workshop. It's called Survivorship. It's in two parts. One, they, precious, beloved kinfolk, their hunger's deep, their corridors bleak, their pathways barred. They huddled, cornered, so small the escape hole, so strange their compliance, the yield to what was afoot. They, how to anticipate the depth of that suffering, the plunge of that knife, so cold, so sharp its blade, so insistent its slice. They of Europe, the kindred tortured herd, the intelligentsia, never a chance to wave goodbye. Gray, gray ash, incinerated trash. 2. I, born into freedom, some limits inflicted, parental craziness, my father a stone, silent, my mother a secret gambler, consequently a liar, I her reluctant accomplice, I wild green weed, a pest growing thick, hell-bent limbs, driving my wheels through the muck, craving sugar, ballet shoes, other kids, the boy next door. I, telling lies, my mother's daughter, wishing for love, bossing my little brother around. Nobody beat me up. I of America, only one promise ever kept, to escape the mob, never be part of it. The prize, a critical mind, a knowing. I, remaindered, the need to plod on, the mind, these guts and this soul, all my sweet dead, the wanting. This is called Picnic at Belarus. This is written for Father Patrick Dubois. Father Patrick Dubois is a French priest. He's the grandson of a French soldier held in Rawa Ruska prison camp on the Poland-Ukraine border in World War II. He's now a professor at Georgetown University. Beginning in 2004, he's researched the exterminations of the Jews, the Gypsies, the Roma, and others by the Nazi Einsatzgruppen. It's called Picnic at Belarus. A lamentation of swans, their sleek necks bared without the mercy of water. Jewels now found under fields of Ukrainian weeds and wildflowers, the grassy slopes of Rawa Ruska and Belarus. This was the rude East, the fields different than the West, vast, vivid and green, no boxcars rolling. The sacrifice, one precious metal slug per Jew bird, each well aimed, well spent. Numbers newly unearthed. Your Klena Boba and mine, each a ghastly addendum to history. Okay, I do write about some other matters. Here's my Pushcart 2018 prize poem. It's called Feedlots. My head is clamorous with mourning. Before me crowds are trampling the pathways. Up for breakfast they rush to feed at counters and tables. True, at night they lust to dance, to play, to curl beneath bed covers, by day to decorate and embrace themselves. True, some will remember a moment of trout shared at a windswept lake in summer, a kindly word, a promise. If once happy, feeding, they will nod, smile, and choose a rounded spoon. If starved, take care. They will find the sharpest knife. This is called Buy a Ticket. An old diminished town, broken streets, broken glass. Walls here are layered, many coats of paint all peeling. Flakes of rust glom onto any metal. The salt does this. A lone surprise amidst the grit. A chrome-bright gym, open 24/7 for the afflicted, the jobless, wounded, welfarians who nagging at scabs cannot sleep. Someone says dance. Someone says hope. Someone says Walmart is coming. Someone says try this, it'll take off the edge. No one on the other side knows squat, but of one truth, the pounded, bruised, lacerated are certain. Money would make everybody happy. This is called Somewhere. Somewhere a chestnut horse plods along a leafy trail. His steady rider also gnaws. They move as one, one bent unit rolling like a song up and down the shifting rays. Off to find another place they hum, easy as summer. It may seem they've left me here amid the noise and streetscapes, but in the airborne scatter of the song, I am riding with them. When we get there, there are apple trees, golden as late September, shedding for us, the horse, the rider, and for me. The juice is warm but slakes our thirst. The drenching sun slides to 4 o'clock, and quick with joy and sweat, we three mount up and find the trail again. This is called, I'll skip this. This is a sweet little list poem. It's called If Not Exactly Human. If not exactly human, I would be a swan. I would be a tulip. I would be simple as a sailboat drifting on a breeze. I would be made of bright or muted colors. I would be a natural occurrence, but I would not be a rodent. I would not be a hemlock. I would not be a thing that doesn't breathe. I would not be a thing that's covered in ice. I would not be a thing for purchase. I would not be any part of a crime scene. I would have fragrance. I would have appetite. I would have movement. I'd like to sway. I would know comfort somehow. I might be any size or no size. I might be formless, even invisible, but you would be able to see me, and I would know it. This is called Desperados, and it's kind of because it mentions the 4th of July. It's in four parts. Desperados. One, at first, when a lack of rain came upon us, we paid scant attention. We had just met Tom and Fair Anne. We meant to water the garden more often, mentioned it twice on the 4th of July. Two, summer wore on. For want of water, the wrens flew away. You decided to go to the Cape. A shipwright's job might be available. The garden had drifted to ash. The vines withered to brown. We had let it all go. Three, I wore a party dress, lavender and gold, when we met, accidentally, next year in September. You reminded me of Barney Clark, the copyist of Renoir, who rendered dresses like mine in bold blots of color. Four, our lovemaking that afternoon happened with purpose, with weight. We held on as true as we could, as if there were still chances. One more grand summer storm, green lightning, a murderous downpour of rain. Okay, so to leave you with something light, on a lighter note, I've always been slightly amused by the manufacturer's ploy with names they choose to sell us lipstick. So this is kind of an ode called Why I Love My Lipstick. Because in clearly crimson I can sing a siren song, because in crystal coral I am never alone too long, I can name the stars for Martin, wearing starlit pink, or speak my mind to Philip, tell him what I think. Because in lilac rose, I do not hide in bed, I can outdazzle anybody wearing all-star red. Because in silvery mauve, I lay claim to copper skies. Because in copper glazed brown, I never apologize. At night, by naked bronze glow, I hear my lover sing. Inside his purple kisses, I drink wine with everything. In the August of my life, I still savor cherries in the snow and treasure the girlish heart that compels me to do so. I am boldness, beauty, devil, and charmer in a beeswax, coal tar, and fragrance armor. Thank you.